Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
All right, welcome to the Chronic Podcast. As always, we are brought to you by the Pelican House in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 2572 City Place Court. They have 136 draft beers. They have a 50-foot television. You can watch LSU, Alabama. It is Hate Nick Saban week. Then you can watch the Saints on Sunday, Andrew. You can get duck braised nachos. You can get a fabulous burger. You can get potato skins. They have it all. The Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They support us, so you should support them. All right. Miraculously, Dave, the Saints are 4-4 after kicking Carolina in the nuts, and your boyfriend, Mark Ingram, had 30 carries.
Yeah, even I'm surprised by that.
Did you guys see how pissed he was when Edwin Baker stole a carry from him at the end of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I mean, the dude had 54 carries in 4 days. I mean, come on.
Yeah, like, no, I was surprised actually to see him still getting carries in the fourth quarter when the game was pretty much well in hand for the Saints. I thought maybe they should have gone to Edwin Baker a little bit earlier than they did, to be honest with you. Some of those 30 carries were a little garbage time, but I mean, I really cannot believe that they gave him 30 carries. I mean, that's unheard of. I would have thought at the most, under Sean Payton, he would get 25, and I thought that would have been great, but 30 is awesome. I mean, you know, I've been saying this for 2 years now that's what he needs. He needs to get in a rhythm. He needs a lot of time. You know, he needs to overcome some, you know, issues. If he hits a wall of blockers on one run, mm-hmm. he needs to get the ball again so he can keep his momentum and he can keep his.
Well, here's the thing that I found interesting, Andrew.
I mean, I just want to say he's a different player. You know, I think when we talk about how he needed more touches to really get going, well, I think in limited touches this year, he's also done really well. You know, it's not just like in when he's gotten the 10 touches,
he's
only rushing for 15 yards. Yeah, he's lost some weight. He's faster. He's quicker. He's more decisive hitting his holes. I mean, I just think, he's healthier. I mean, that definitely helps too. But I just think in general, and you know, part of it's probably him being focused coming into a contract year. He knows this is it. Probably his last chance to impress before getting an opportunity at a contract. But to me, it's a completely different player than what we've seen maybe besides times last year, late in the season.
And the Saints need to continue to stick with this offensive game plan. And it doesn't have to be Ingram. If Kyrie Robinson comes back and he's healthy and they want to make him the main guy for one game, you know, that's fine. But they need to do that. They need to just keep pounding. They just need to keep going with it.
Here's my question, Andrew, is that the worst two run defenses by yards per carry are Green Bay and Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Carolina actually did a pretty good job, I thought.
I'll get to that in a second. But is this a trend for the rest of the year, you think, with the Saints? Because Carolina, as you said, they geared up to stop the Saints because Carolina fans on Twitter were like, ha-ha, you're celebrating only getting 100 yards on 30 carries. We're the worst run defense in the NFL. That's not really an accomplishment. They put 8 in the box, and Sean Payton was still just grinding it at them in the fourth quarter, which is really rare for the Saints. So I guess my question is this trend of the Saints really leaning on that power run game, is it going to stay against the number one run defense in the NFL, San Francisco, Sunday?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I definitely think that the game plan depends on the matchups. I mean, I still think, I mean, I definitely think in general there's more of a commitment on Sean Payton's part to running the football. And I think no matter who they play, they always want to have that balance. You know, they don't want to show their hand and be so predictable that the defense knows what's coming every play. But at the same time, I think you look at on paper your strengths, their strengths, and both teams' weaknesses, and you try to exploit them. And against San Francisco, for example, I mean, I think you look at them, it's going to be tough sledding. It's going to be hard to get yardage on the ground. And if you look at when the Saints played them last year, I think it was 43 passes, 23 rushes. The Saints really tried to get a lot of the short yardage early downs with efficiency passing short passes, mm-hmm. swing passes to the backs, that sort of thing. So I think you'll see less of just the constant pounding with Ingram in this game and more of the short passing game. Now, they don't have Sproles, and they had Sproles last year, who's a big part of that, obviously. But we'll have to see. I mean, obviously, another big question is, does Pierre Thomas play? Because he's such a big part of the passing game, too.
Well, Dave, one last thing on Ingram is, you know, people on Twitter are like, oh, the Saints, they need to lock him up to a contract. He's going to make big money. But my argument was running backs don't get big money anymore. But if Ingram gets 850 to 1,000 yards, which he might, do the Saints make a really strong effort to keep him?
I don't know if they do. You know, I mean, my thing is, I don't think Mark Ingram is some amazingly talented running back. I mean, I think that the Saints have done well running the ball these last two games because they've dedicated to it and because their offensive line, I think they're finally starting to gel with this whole zone blocking scheme and that kind of thing. I think what I'm trying to say is that I think you could have easily, if Kyrie Robinson was healthy, you could have easily plugged Kyrie Robinson in and given him 30 carries, and he would have, personally, I think that he would have just as easily gotten 100 yards against Carolina and gotten 100 and something yards against Green Bay. I don't think it's necessarily the running back himself in this situation. Yeah. I think it's the system, and I think it's the dedication and the commitment to running the ball. And we know Mickey Loomis, and we know the Saints and the way they handle things. They don't overpay.
Andrew, they wouldn't even
pay Jimmy Graham. I mean,
what's the market for a run? I think Ingram could stay, but he's not getting more than $2 million a year for he'll get 3 years,
well,
6 million.
It's hard to say because you look at, Darren McFadden, the Raiders overpaid to keep him. He got 1 year, $5 million.
The Raiders. That's the please stay, don't leave.
Right, right. That's the we have to pay extra because we're the Raiders. you look at Knowshon Moreno. He's a back that was on a very successful team, ran for over 1,000 yards, and he got 2 years, $5 million.
Yeah.
From the Dolphins. So. You know, I mean, if you look at it based on that, I mean, I don't see Ingram really getting more than 3 years, $9 million. I mean, that's the extension I think that Philly gave Sproles was 3 years, $9 million.
I don't even think Sproles got that. I think it was 2 years, seven or eight. But next year's not even the second year isn't even guaranteed. But the only way I could see Ingram getting more than $2.5 million is if the Saints go to the Super Bowl and Ingram drops 150 yards in the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, and then some lunatic team is like, we're getting Mark Ingram, he's a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, well, there's no question that success late in the season in big games that everyone's watching. I mean, we saw what that did for Fujita, we saw what it did for Goodwin, we saw what it did for Tracy Porter. You know, there's no doubt that when you make those plays in the big on the big stage, sometimes teams will reach for you in free agency. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But like Dave, I'm kind of pessimistic about Mark Ingram coming back. I mean, I fully expect that this is going to be his last year with the Saints. I've had a lot of people ask me about that. I think it's twofold. I think number one, you look at the Saints cap situation, there's just not a lot of money to go around. Number two, I think you look at the back situation with the Saints, and they've still got in Kyrie and Pierre Thomas, cheap guys that are performing well. So losing Mark Ingram wouldn't be a death blow to the roster's talent.
And they could just draft one.
They could just draft one. And then lastly, I mean, if I'm Mark Ingram, I could be wrong. This is purely speculation and just my gut here. But I think Mark Ingram on the whole, if you look at his how he feels about his career with the Saints, I think he would say it's been frustrating that he hasn't gotten enough touches, that he doesn't want to be in this platoon system offense. He wants to be in an offense that's going to rely on him and give him the ball a lot. And so I think an offense like the Steelers or the Ravens or a team like that is a better fit for him. I think he'll seek out an offense that will give him more opportunities, kind of like Reggie Bush did.
Yeah. Dave, Keenan Lewis was awesome versus Calvin Benjamin.
Yes,
he was. My question to you is he playing better, you think, in 2014 than he was in 2013?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, he's certainly the Saints' best cornerback both years, 2013, 2014. You know, and it's not like he doesn't make mistakes. He looked real silly on that first touchdown against Green Bay last week.
Yeah.
He did. He did a great job against Benjamin. And so far, he's – I guess I would say, yeah, this year maybe he is playing a little bit better than he was last year.
Andrew?
I think – no. I think he started this year a little shaky. I think he started – and I would say that in the last few weeks, really since the bye – he started to play at the level that we remember him from last year. And really, I mean, Calvin Benjamin, I think if we're going recency bias, I think, I mean, that is arguably the best game he's played in the Saints uniform. He was incredible. Mm-hmm. He was the definition of a shutdown corner in that game.
If he had more interceptions, he wouldn't be on the Saints because he wouldn't have been in their price range. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a really good corner. He just you can argue that interceptions are opportunities and a little bit of luck or whatever. But I mean, let's be real. He had, I think, like two career interceptions, and the Saints are like, he can be awesome anyway. We don't care about interceptions. But if he had had 5, 6, 7 interceptions with the Steelers his free agency year, he'd have got, instead of getting $5-6 million from the Saints, he'd have got 11 from something.
Yeah, and I mean, he got 4 last year. You know, that's nothing to, you know, bite your thumb at or whatever. I mean, that's a pretty solid number. So,
yeah.
I mean, we're splitting hairs here. I think most recently in these last couple of games, I think he's peaking. You know, he's reached a level now where early in the season, maybe he started a little slow, but he's back to that level that we expect from him. And if anything, he's maybe playing a little bit better. So we'll see how the rest of the year plays out. But I think if he keeps playing at this level by the end of the year, I'm definitely comfortable saying he played better than he did in 2013.
Dave, the pass rush for the Saints the last 2 weeks has been awesome. Junior Gallette is back on pace to get his hefty bonus that he had built into his contract. But Carolina's offensive line is terrible.
Yeah.
But so is San Francisco's because they gave up 8 sacks. And apparently Andrew told me before the podcast that they're going to likely be playing a backup center. So how much of this Saints pass rush is the Saints playing better, and how much of it is they're playing crappy offensive lines?
Unfortunately, I feel like it may be a little bit more of the latter and not enough of the former. You know, it's a little bit of both, but Carolina's terrible, and you know,
well, Carolina was starting three backups.
Yeah,
including a brand new left tackle.
I felt like Junior Gallette,
a Canadian left tackle.
If it wasn't Cam Newton, and if it had just been like a non-mobile, like if it had been Mike Glennon back there, like Junior Gallette would have killed him.
Yeah, so, and I mean, I don't know, you know, against San Francisco, like you said, their offensive line isn't that great too, so the game this Sunday against the Niners, that's not really going to be a good barometer to let us know whether the Saints pass rush is finally back to 2013 form. But but it's definitely nice to see them get into the quarterback and and causing disruption and all that. But, you know, to answer your original question, I'm a little worried that it's more just about the low level of competition that they've been facing.
Andrew?
Yeah, I agree with Dave. I think in large part it's just a weaker competition. But the deeper you get into the year, you're going to start seeing that. I mean, that's just the reality of as you get deeper in your season, there's more injuries. You know, there's and we talked about this. You asked me when are these guys going to play better? When are they going to get more sacks? And I said, well, they've been playing some pretty good offensive lines, some really strong players. And, you know, over the course of the season, they're going to play guys that are weaker. Injuries are going to happen. And all of a sudden, you're going to start to see these sacks come. And sure enough, that's what happened. And so, yeah, I mean, I think as you get deeper into the season, you know, they'll probably play some offensive lines that are strong again. But I think that's how you get confidence. You know, I think you start with weaker competition. You kind of eat them up. And then you start to get a little confidence, a little swagger. And that's what they were missing earlier in the year, you know, and I think hopefully they're hungrier, they're working hard, and, you know, sometimes you just need to have a little success to get you going and get you ready against some kind of tougher competition.
Dave, it gives me a little comfort with the Saints offense that it's the same as it always was, where Brandon Cooks has a monster game and then he disappears. You know, is the Saints offense – is it any different than it's always been as far as the peak of it, where it's Jimmy Graham's going to get his numbers if he's healthy, but the wide receivers, they're just going to come and go, and Brandon Cooks is not going to be a number one guy, an elite guy where you can expect him to have big games every week. He's going to be just like every other Saints receiver, where he's going to be up and he's going to be down, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can ever expect any Saints receiver, you know, other than Colston, and even Colston has sort of been a victim of that, but for the most part over time, Colston has remained steady and consistent and one of Drew's favorite targets. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, they're just going to be an offense that spreads the ball around, and you know, they just kind of go with the hot hand and who's feeling it in any particular game. You know, Brandon Cooks may get a little bit more than normal just because he's a little more versatile than a lot of the other guys. I wouldn't start any Saints wide receivers on my fantasy team.
No,
I'm sure you do, because you're terrible at fantasy.
No, I got rid of all the Saints players because I put the stink on them, Dave. I traded Drew Brees for pennies on the dollar just to get because I'm fantasy Ebola. Right. Although I did have to start Mark Ingram this week because I had running back issues. I like to keep Saints players nice and comfy on my bench so they can just erupt during the actual games, and I feel like that's my public service. Andrew, the NFC South is still a trash bin dumpster fire.
It's beautiful.
Tampa and Atlanta play this week, but you know, Dave had been vociferously arguing that somebody is going to win 10 games in the NFC South. And if it's not the Saints, it ain't happening. My question to you is, and Dave, you can answer this too, what is the magic number to win the NFC South as we sit here on November 3rd?
8.
No way.
You think – so if you're disagreeing with that, I mean, just so we're clear about what you're saying that you think Carolina, Atlanta, or Tampa, one of those three teams will win 8 games?
No, what I'm saying is if Ralph wants to know what the magic number is to win the NFC South, the magic number is 10. If a team gets the 10 wins, they're automatically going to win the NFC.
No, but I don't think – so you're saying the Saints are going to get to 10, Dave?
Oh, I think they can easily get to 10 wins. I think, you know, they've got 3 home games upcoming, and I would say maybe the Ravens game – might be the hardest of those 3.
But Dave, just because you think the Saints could possibly go 6-10, That doesn't mean they need to go. Ten and six. That doesn't mean they need to win 10 games to win the division. So Ralph's question is, how many games do they need to get to in order to win? And my point is, I don't think they would need to win more than 8 because everyone else in the division is going to win 7.
You're going to need to win 9 and 10 would lock it
up. So Dave, Carolina's 3-5-1. Mm-hmm. So you're saying Carolina's
and they have an easy schedule coming up.
You're saying they're going 5-2 the rest of the way and getting to 8-7-1.
Who are they playing?
They play Philly.
Loss.
Where?
At Philly.
Okay.
Loss.
They play, let's see. They play, let me pull up the Carolina schedule. Right.
Don't let me down, Sanchez.
Philadelphia, people think that Chip Kelly, he wants to throw the ball, but really his offense is just running the ball and not huddling. Like, that's the whole point of his offense. He's going to run Carolina into the dirt. They close at Philly. Then they host Atlanta.
Win.
Then they're on a bye.
Loss.
Then they go to Minnesota. Minnesota's 5-4.
They could beat Minnesota.
Okay, so that gets them to 5 wins. They go to New Orleans.
Loss.
Yeah.
They host Tampa.
Win.
They host Cleveland.
Win.
So that gets them to 7. And they go to Atlanta.
Win. Loss. There you go.
So they're not going to sweep the Falcons.
They go to Dave, you're saying they're getting to 8-7-1. So you say the Saints need to win 9 to win the South.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I don't see it because, and I think Andrew will agree with me, when you are a team that gives up over 5 yards a carry, when you play teams
like – that's not going to work against Cleveland.
That's not going to work against Cleveland. Minnesota, the guy had 3 touchdowns against Washington. That's not going to work against Minnesota. Atlanta could be dicey one of those games, and it's not going to work against – and Tampa has Bobby Rainey. He ran for 100 yards yesterday. I just think asking – Carolina to do better than 5-2, that's the absolute ceiling. I'm going to say the magic number to win the South is 9, but if you told me the Saints would win 8, I'd still expect to be going to a playoff game.
Yeah, I'm sticking with 8. I'm sticking with 8, man.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But look at it this way, Dave. If they lose to Philly, that makes them 3-6-1. That means they've got to go 5-1 the rest of the way.
They've got an easy schedule to do it.
Yeah, but they're I don't know. We'll see. I think.
When you have no defense and no offensive line, that's a bad recipe for going 5-1.
Yeah.
I mean.
And the thing is, like, Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland is great. They're gonna they'll probably be in the playoff race that second to last week, you know, where they're still fighting for something. So we'll see. But we obviously disagree. Dave thinks it's gonna take 9. Me and Andrew take 8. But Dave may be changing his tune next week when Sanchez has 4 touchdowns and we're doing a podcast next week.
I cannot believe that you guys are relying on Sanchez. That's how I know you guys are Looney Tunes.
Well, no, I just don't think Carolina's any good. I mean, if they were going to
50 million people in New York who are laughing at you right
but
now.
But the thing is, like, Dave, if Carolina was ever going to play a good game, it would have been Thursday. And they just don't have
off a short week, not necessarily.
Andrew, am I being crazy? Like,
I just feel like they were in the dumps, and on a short week, they had the Saints coming into town. The Saints played Sunday night, so it was even an even shorter week on them, and they had to go on the road. I mean, I just feel like you were saying it all week, Ralph, that the Saints were going to get Carolina's best shot,
and they just don't have like they're not capable. Like sometimes a team that you think is good is just. They're not like we were worried about the Saints. Remember when they were 1-3 because they barely beat Tampa at home, and we're like, they're just not capable of being.
And this is a dose of reality for Cam Newton, who I have always thought is an overrated quarterback. That doesn't have what it takes to consistently win games. And he was bailed out a lot last year. Now, he did make some plays in the two-minute offense in multiple games to help them win down the stretch. But the running game and the defense are what kept Carolina in so many of those low-scoring games and gave them a chance to win late. But I just think the running game hasn't been as good this year. Defensively, they're a mess. And so now we're seeing that Cam Newton actually is a pretty mediocre quarterback.
Yeah, he in Fantasy Focus for ESPN, they said it's okay to drop him because if you're in a 10-team league, he's not worth starting. So, but Andrew, before we get to Twitter questions, we have a ton of them. Is there a more hateable NFL coach than Jim Harbaugh? I feel like there's not. Even Mike Smith, like, I don't hate him. I just laugh at him. But Jim Harbaugh, I hate that guy.
You know, I'd put Pete Carroll in there. But yeah, I mean, I think Pete Carroll's just more annoying. whereas I think you could argue Harbaugh is grating.
Dave?
Yeah.
Do you, is there a more hateable coach for you than Jim Harbaugh?
Carroll, Pete Carroll.
Yeah, I mean Jim Harbaugh.
I don't think he's more hateable than Harbaugh, though.
No, I think they're
equally
hateable. I think I hate like who's got it better than us and his whining of officials and his tantrum. Like, I think I hate like during.
Well, you might be seeing more of him if Atlanta hires him.
Oh my God! The only coach I think I hate more than Harbaugh is Saban. But
well, you get to see your two favorite coaches
God,
this weekend.
I so want Saban to just start yelling at
this me. Weekend has the potential for a lot of pain.
It does, but it also has a potential.
Coach hate week.
It also has a potential for a lot of drinking and a lot of good time.
A lot of fun, yes, it does.
I got the last six pack of strawberry. Covington strawberry ale, and I'm just gonna pound that during the LSU game.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm afraid of Monday. I don't know what next Monday is gonna bring.
My dream, Andrew, is LSU plays the best game they've played in 5 years and totally destroys Alabama. The Saints win, and then I can take a personal day on Monday and listen to Feinbaum.
And just walk around in your boxers all day.
No, I'll pour a bath. I'll open a bottle of wine. And I'll just soak in Feinbaum for 4 hours of all their insane callers.
Paul,
they got a fire, Saban. He's getting beat by that lunatic. But yeah, I like because I've only got to enjoy the Feinbaum experience one time in 2011. I didn't discover Feinbaum till 2011. So I haven't got to enjoy that experience of LSU beating Alabama and getting that. But let's get to some Twitter questions. Andrew,
oh, are we going to talk about all the people that hate you and Juge?
Yeah, well, it is mostly Juge. Okay, awesome. Okay, awesome. And Angry Hoodat and Breezius. They want to know why you block them, Andrew.
We've already been over this, man.
I know.
Do we have to keep talking about this?
No, it's just fun. I just like to needle you. But let's see. This is from John Capel. If LSU and the Saints win this weekend, which of you will have the highest blood alcohol content by 4 p.m. Sunday?
I don't really have a horse in the race as far as LSU's Alabama concerns, so it won't be me.
I would go with Ralph just because now I have two kids, and I think my commitment to drinking is really tapered off, especially after the second kid.
I mean, so, I'll be drinking.
But Ralph is going strong.
I'll go strong. The thing is, though, like, it depends how that Saints game goes. Like, if the Saints, if they play horrible against San Francisco and they're losing, I'm drinking more. But if they're winning and they're up, like, 27-10 in the third, you know, in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, like, I'll ease off. So I might not be that drunk Sunday in celebratory mood because I don't feel like this Saints game is like a do or die. I mean, you want them to win, and it's bad to lose at home game, obviously, but it's not like do or die. Like if they lose, it isn't like, oh my God, the season's over.
Like, yeah, but I feel like, you know, I'm always down for sucking down some brewskis during the game.
Yeah, I do.
But I feel like you, Ralph. You're like mixing hard liquor, beer.
Yeah, I am. Like that Detroit game, I was just pounding the hard liquor the last 4 minutes. Like I just had the bottle of Crown and I just finished it all. Like literally, I'm out of Crown. Like I just finished off the bottle and I was just like, I can't believe this happened.
Well, so like I said, my money's on Ralph.
My money's on me.
What's in worse shape, my blood or your liver?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say probably my liver because I took Accutane to clear up my horrible pizza face when I was in college, and that shit just wears out your liver.
Really?
Yeah. Like you have to take like a blood test every month to make sure that your liver is still functioning. Yeah. But the things you got to do for clear skin, Dave. So, all right.
Make sure you stay away from that Tylenol, Ralphie.
This is from Alley of Sin. If LSU and the Saints win this weekend, she asked the same question, too. That's the same repeated. Is Ralph's gambling in any way responsible for the Saints' recent success? If so, will you teach me your ways?
Bet against the Saints.
Well, I my picking, and I mentioned this in my column for Channel 4, I have not picked the Saints game correct as far as a straight-up winner in the Saints game since the Minnesota game. And I'm 1-7 in picking the winner in the Saints game. I'm 4-4 against the spread, though.
So you're picking the Niners straight up, right?
No, it's going
to
disappear.
No, you have to.
I'm not reverse Notre Dame. I don't have power.
Notre Dame.
No. Dave, which Harbaugh brother would give a more gratifying sore loser face after tanking to the Saints in the dome?
Oh, Jim. I don't really have, you know, any hate for John Harbaugh. He seems like the cool, calm,
what?
Collected
what
brother.
Have you ever watched Baltimore play?
Yes, I went to the Super Bowl when they
down quite a lot.
Played each other. But when you compare him to his brother,
yeah, there's no comparison. Come on.
Yeah, I mean Jim is my kid today at dinner has less tantrums than Jim Harbaugh. I mean he's throwing his headphones. He's partially taking his shirt off. You know he like keeps lifting at his shirt all the time.
He looked like against the Rams. He looked like a 4 year old that you just told him Santa doesn't exist.
Oh my! And he looks absolutely ridiculous. I mean any coach, even his brother John, pales in comparison to him. So you know Jim Harbaugh. You know, getting the best of Jim Harbaugh is always the best.
Andrew, the Gear Fondler, I like that handle. how great is it that the national media does not acknowledge that the Saints are becoming legitimate contenders again?
I love it. I mean, I never really wanted the media awareness and, you know, just them talking about the Saints anyway. So I kind of like this better. You know, 4-4 under the radar in first place. But
and the media
NFC
has
South
a hard
blows.
Time admitting that they're wrong. Like when they thought the Saints were going to the Super Bowl and they turned against them when they were 1-3. Like the media has a hard time admitting that they were wrong a couple of times during the year.
Yeah, I agree. No, this is great, man. Under the radar, this is exactly what we're going for.
So. Adam Fauché asks, Ralph, does it hurt to lose to a fantasy football team whose quarterback had -3? Yes,
I'd want to kill myself.
I had Philip Rivers in one league, and I won that league amazingly, and I played Adam in the podcast league, and I lost by like 3 points. If I would have started Roethlisberger instead of Brady, I would have won.
Wait, so who did he start at quarterback?
He started Philip Rivers.
He started Rivers and beat you?
Yes, he started Philip Rivers and beat me.
Wow, you're an embarrassment.
I am an embarrassment. My team, it was bad, and then I traded. Like it was on draft day. I drove it off the road into the ditch, but my trades have set it on fire. But I did it for the Saints. I had to get Drew Brees off my team. I was ruining his season.
Well, can you pull it out of the ditch and roll it down the cliff?
I mean, can.
Can you go bigger?
I could. I had the guy who's 1-7 in our league, Fanboy Elitist. He's 1-7. He offered to swap entire teams.
Well, you should do it. That's great. You make that trade.
It is true.
You guys aren't even taking it seriously, obviously.
Well, it was just like, you know, everybody pitched in like $20, I think, and like 10 of it went. The winner gets $80, second place gets 20. It's not like it's not like it's a $5 million fantasy league, you know.
Those exist.
They probably, well, I had a guy at when I worked at a oil publishing company. They had like all these big wig VPs, and they had a fantasy league that was $1,000 to join. It was an auction league. They had their own auctioneer, and you couldn't be in any other fantasy leagues if you were in their league.
Wow. And what did the winner walk away with, do you know?
Well, it was $1,000 a person. It was a 10-team league. I think you got $9,000, and the second place guy got the money. Got your money back.
Wow. Not bad at all.
This is from Dylan and Dave. Would potentially knocking the 49ers out of the NFC wildcard race with a win be good enough revenge for 2011?
No, no. The only revenge good enough would be doing something equal or better to the Niners. We would need to knock them
at
out
at home.
Yeah, we would need to knock them out of the division round or the NFC Championship or something like that.
That doesn't mean that Harbaugh's tears aren't going to taste delicious if we beat them by 40.
No, and they need like.
Oh no, I want to bathe them.
If they go to 4-5, they've still got to go to Arizona and they've got Seattle twice. So it becomes really hard for them to get to 10 wins because they're not in a garbage bin of a division like the Saints. So they're kind of like in do or die mode this week. But Andrew.
You want to talk about teams that don't get enough respect? The Cardinals get less respect than the Saints, I would say.
Well, yeah, they're in Arizona, and Carson Palmer is their quarterback. And their coach.
Hard to take that seriously.
And their coach wears a red golf cap after games. let's see. There was a question from Moose Denied that I wanted to get to that I need to.
He was tweeting off a million of those this morning.
Yeah, he had several.
My phone was blowing up at 10 when I got the
word. He was cranking them out.
Yeah. Let's see.
He will. I remember one is he wanted to know if he could get a Sean Orleans shirt to replace his angry Houdat. I mean his unknown Houdat shirt.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to.
We gotta make that happen. I can make him one. What does the Sean Orleans shirt look like?
It's Kevin looking at Tinder on his iPhone.
Swipe left. Swipe left.
God, I can't find it.
What is wrong with you? Do you know how Twitter works?
I know how Twitter works.
I'm not convinced he does.
I'm not. He asked a question about how much fun is it going to be to watch Atlanta play Tampa in that shit show of a game.
I'm rooting for Tampa.
if Atlanta, after dropping 56 on Tampa at home, if they lose to Tampa, like Mike Smith, he's got to go, right? I mean, like
oh, Arthur, I think like, he's already. Didn't Arthur Blank come out and say that they're going to be looking at a top level coach for next season?
Yeah, I mean, well, the rumor is like Arthur Blank is just like completely filled with rage.
He's sick of losing.
I found Ralph's Wang's questions. Do you want me to read these?
Yeah, read them.
All right. Let's see. The first one is, how fun is it going to be to see the Falcons strike out on Gruden, Cowher, Saban before settling on Kiffin?
That was
see,
the
he
one.
Didn't mention Harbaugh. You
that
got to throw
was
Harbaugh
the one.
In there. Harbaugh is going to be available this year.
There is nothing like that would be the funniest thing. Like if they would offer Gruden like everything, like total power, like $12 million a year, and he would go back to Monday Night Football. But
I don't want Gruden. I want Gruden for the Saints whenever Peyton decides to retire. I want Gruden to stay. To stay in the broadcasting biz until the Saints need him.
Thing is with Gruden though is he like cycles through quarterbacks endlessly. Like he had Rich Gannon, but he with the Tampa, he had like Brad Johnson and Garcia and Greasy. Like he can't settle on a quarterback. He gets itchy. So what's the next one, Andrew?
Also from Wang, is Sunday's Falcons-Bucks game going to be the most gloriously funny thing we see all season?
It might be.
What time do they play?
They play at noon.
Oh, well, I'm not going to get to watch it.
Yeah, but you could peek on the red zone. That game's a pick 'em, and Atlanta dropped 56 on Tampa in week 3.
Where is it? Is it in Tampa?
It's in Tampa.
I don't know who's going to win. I want to see Tampa Bay win.
I think Tampa's going to win. I think
it'd be awesome.
Tampa's due to win. Andrew, you said a little while ago that you thought Atlanta might not win another game. You still believe that?
I meant that in jest mostly. I think Atlanta will win another game. It might very well be this weekend. Tampa is god awful.
Yeah. Next question.
All right. Let's see. This is another one from Wang. Do you think Mark Sanchez would be the best quarterback on the Jets roster right now?
Yes.
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 All right. His other question was, what are the odds that Harbaugh has a whole different kind of have a great day moment Sunday morning?
I don't get that question.
All right. Here's a good one.
That's the Les Miles thing, that he would go to Michigan.
Right.
I don't know. Jim Harbaugh's not going back to college, but it'd be funny as hell.
No Lemonade asks, what is your recommended hair of the dog drink to revive Saints fans who are still hungover from LSU Bama?
Bloody Mary or Jim Beam honey in a Starbucks vanilla latte.
What the hell?
If you want to kind of like ease into your Saints game and you need to recover from the LSU and you want to keep drinking, you just pour a little something sweet in your coffee, Dave. You never did that?
I don't drink coffee, and I certainly wouldn't put booze in my coffee.
Oh.
I say just a shot of Fireball. Extra antifreeze.
Just go hardcore, Andrew.
Extra antifreeze.
I don't really drink until the game starts. I just drink beer these days, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I try to stay away from liquor.
Like Dr. Pepper to kickstart it.
Ooh.
No, I mean, if you're talking about drinking in the morning, it's definitely got to be a Bloody Mary or I was going to say a mimosa, but man, champagne, that shit ruins you.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a bad call.
Yeah,
that's a bad call.
To your head.
All right, any more questions, Andrew?
Yeah, I got a bunch. Okay. Super Saiyan Stain had a few. He asked me, how does it feel to be wrong? Yes, I admit that he was correct about the Panthers. And I was incorrect about how that game played out, and I'm glad.
You nailed emailing it. Me, quoting my Dallas, the column after the Dallas game, saying how I said that the Saints were done and that they were only going to be a 7 or 8 win team, and that the Sean Payton era was over. But you know what, people? At the time, Dallas had a history of being an 8-8 train wreck. And
They still might be.
They still might be. The first 7 weeks, they were the best team in the NFL. And all these people criticizing you people, you're desperate for me not to pick the Saints to win, yet you mock my picks.
Super Saiyan Saint asks, if Mark Ingram goes for 100 again, what kind of shirt will Dave make?
Dave?
I don't know if he's going to go for 100 for a third straight game, so I don't know if I really have to worry about this, but you know what? You know what I would love to do? I don't know if you guys remember this or even saw this after Ingram was drafted and we still had Mountain Exile on the blog, and he photoshopped this picture of Ingram in front of this British crowd. I think it was for the Beatles, and they're all like being held back by British Bobby police officers, and you know, there's like a handwritten note in the corner that I forget what it says, but I always thought that was great. I would put that on a shirt. That's what I would put on the shirt.
If Ingram runs for like 70 yards, That'll put him at 500, roughly, with 7 games left. And I think 1,000 yards becomes in play, especially if Pierre Thomas and Robinson are out for a little bit longer. Disagree? Agree? Or not?
Yeah, maybe. What's up with Thomas and Robinson? What's their deal?
I don't know. We'll have to.
I've heard Robinson's probably going to be good to go this week. Yeah. I don't know anything about Pierre Thomas.
Next question, Andrew.
Did you read the one from Hedgery yet?
Which one was that?
He asked, which non-division game is most important to win?
No, I didn't ask that one yet.
Okay, yeah, he just wanted us to weigh in on which non-division game remaining is the most important. I think, you know, the AFC games, just by virtue of tie-breaking possibilities and playoffs and everything, are just less valuable. Now, I don't think the Saints are really playing for a wild card this year. I mean, they either have to win the division or they're not getting in. But that being said, I still think, you know, if they're tied, if they split with Carolina or they split with Atlanta and they're tied for the division lead, and they're tied in the division, you know, the NFC games would become next in importance.
I'm going to say the most.
So San Francisco, I would say at Bears could be an interesting one.
Yeah, I'm going to say. That's a tough one. I'm going to say this is going to be an odd choice. I'm going to say Cincinnati because.
That's an AFC team.
Oh, it has to be NFC?
Well, it doesn't have to be, but no. I'm just saying for tie-breaking purposes, NFC games are worth more.
Here's my reasoning is that, like you said, the tiebreakers, that doesn't matter. The Saints are either winning the South or they're not going to the playoffs. So the tiebreakers in the NFC don't really matter, and the tie that Carolina has makes the tiebreakers almost irrelevant. I'm going to say Cincinnati because if they beat the 49ers and Carolina loses on Monday, you beat Cincinnati – and then the Saints are 6-4, and Carolina will be 3-6-1. And for all intents and purposes, that division is locked the fuck up. So I'm going to say Cincinnati, Dave.
I would say, who else do they play in the NFC?
They play
Chicago. That's non-division.
Chicago, that's it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be either between the Niners and Chicago, and I would almost go with the Niners this week just
because it's this week.
Well, it's just, but I mean, just to keep the momentum rolling,
yeah.
You know, just to keep that going. I mean, Cincinnati is another home game. I'd really like to see them win all three of these home games. The one against Baltimore is a primetime game. And we know how good the Saints are in primetime at home. So when it comes to primetime home games for the Saints, I kind of feel like it doesn't matter who they play. They could play the best team in the league. It doesn't matter. If you're in the dome at night, you're going to lose.
Here's a fun question.
So I'd go with the Niners.
The next 3 weeks, if I was going to book a plane ticket for the opening week of the playoffs and buy it early so I can get it cheap, and you were me, what would the Saints have to do the next 3 weeks to make you feel reasonably comfortable that it's okay to buy a plane ticket?
They'd have to win all three games. They would have to win all
Andrew,
three games.
Andrew?
Well, if they win all three games, I would say the playoffs are a lock. I mean, if they're sitting at 7-4, I just can't imagine – any of the other teams would have done enough to not for the Saints not to have a comfortable lead. So I'd say if they win all three, it's a lot. I'd say honestly, if they go 2-1 in these next three, I mean, your question was, what do they need to do for me to feel reasonably confident?
Yeah, you would buy a Southwest plane ticket. So if you say 2-1,
yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident.
Yeah, I think
at 3-0, I mean, it's in the bag. I would think.
Well, if they go 2-1 and Carolina would go like 1-2, that would make the Saints 6-5, and Carolina would be what, 4-7-1.
Yeah.
So that would, or no, they'd be four, yeah, 4-7-1, so that'd be pretty atrocious by them. So, okay,
you guys sound pretty darn confident that the Saints are going to win the division.
I am. Like I'm.
I'm not going to go that far. I mean, Dave, I really think these next three games are huge. I think we're going to find out a lot about what these Saints are all about. I mean, we're still hanging on to that hope of they don't lose at home.
Yeah.
And until proven otherwise, and you know, obviously beating the Packers was big because I think we all felt like that was a team that could potentially come in and wreck the Saints and ruin that whole streak. And so that's the big question. I mean, these are three tough teams, the 49ers, the Bengals, the Ravens. These are not gimme games. And, you know, so I'm kind of waiting to see how this three game stretch plays out. If they stay 3-0, if they win all three of those games and they kind of maintain that, we don't get beat at home, then I think the division's done.
T.J. Hilton just scored a touchdown, Andrew.
I mean, T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y.
Dave, I'm confident that the Saints...
You can't even pronounce the guy's name right when it's just two fucking initials.
I know. But, Dave, I'm consistent. Christ. I'm consistent, Dave. That's what you call it atrocious. I call it consistency. It's not even mispronouncing. I just make up letters now. Bobby Joe Hilton.
DJ Tanner.
I just think the Saints are going to win the South, Dave, because I just think Carolina they're a 6 or 7 win team. Max. That is my confidence with the Saints. Like if the Saints go 2-1 after these three games here, I'm booking a playoff ticket. A flight. That's unless Carolina does something that I don't expect. But then again, I've been wrong about everything for the NFL year, so take that for what it's worth. Andrew,
maybe you should look into taking the train.
Oh, Jesus. Andrew, before we get to the 49ers, do you have any other games? Do you have any questions?
No, I think that was it.
Okay. All right, 49ers game. Andrew, 49ers, they're still number one in if you go by yards for defense. They're number one against the run. Number two overall. But the interesting with them is they give up almost 24 points a game. And the thing that's
they got beat by the Rams.
Yeah, and they got beat by the Rams. But the thing that surprised me most of all the stats was they give up almost 47% or just over 47% completions on third down, which is 7 spots lower than the Saints. So that really surprised me. So, Dave, as you look at this game, what are your sort of keys to the Saints winning? And give me a score and give me a MVP.
Well, the Niners are not the same team that they were last year, 2 years ago. I would assume that there's got to be some issues in tension in the locker room when you have a coach who says it doesn't even matter if we're winning the Super Bowl this year, I'm not coming back. I just don't understand how players can get behind and buy into what Harbaugh is selling.
Did you guys see that report that Steve Young came out and said that he was in the locker room after that loss and the team just looked like a bunch of they were just completely broken?
Yeah, and I didn't read that, but I mean it doesn't surprise me. I mean the Niners are a pretty talented team, but they're 4-4, and I mean they're kind of like the Saints in that way where they're just not playing at the level that they probably should be playing at, and I think a lot of that has to do with the chemistry and the coaching and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, as far as X's and O's stuff, you know, they're going to be prepared. I don't think you're going to see 30 rushes for Ingram this time around. The Saints are pretty familiar with the Niners, and of course that works both ways, but these teams have played each other quite a bit in the last few years. You know, I think you might see a little bit more of the normal, what I would say, quote unquote, normal Saints offense, which is a little bit more passing than we've seen the last couple of games. And, you know, it's at home, so the Saints are going to have an advantage. And I think they can, like I said, the Niners just lost to St. Louis, so they're definitely beatable.
And they were a mess against them. I mean, their defense was still really good, but St. Louis's offense doesn't really scare anybody. But their offensive, I mean, and Colin Kaepernick is mobile, and he was getting pounded. I mean,
yeah, I mean the Saints defense is gonna need to play well. They're gonna need to play as good as they did against Carolina because I'm not expecting Drew Brees, and I'm not expecting this offense to put up a whole ton of points against this defense. So it's definitely going to be on the Saints defense to keep the score low and to keep the Niners, away from the end zone so that whatever points the offense are able to score is going to be good enough. It's going to be more than the Niners get. So, but, you know, I think it's a win. And I'm gonna go with 17-13 Saints. And
oh, low scoring.
Yeah, I think that's how it's gonna be. And player of the game, his cat's in heat again. Player of the game, I am gonna go with Kenny Stills.
Ooh, interesting. Andrew, your prediction.
I think we're going to see a game similar to the Carolina game. Now, obviously, Carolina is on paper not as good as the 49ers at stopping the run, but it was tough sledding for the Saints in that game. I think the Saints will struggle to run the ball. I think they may be able to hit some plays over the top, but they'll have to grind it out a little bit, maybe get something out of the short passing game. And I think on offense, the 49ers, I think it's going to be a mirror game, again, like I said, to this Carolina thing, because you've got a mobile quarterback that can hurt you with his legs, offense whose offensive line is banged up, not playing that well, lacking in confidence, so, you know, coming off a rough loss. So I just think it could be similar in a lot of ways. I just think the Niners are a better team, so maybe they take it a little bit deeper into the fourth quarter and keep it close, but I'm going to say, and I was talking to, I've got to give some credit. I mean, I was talking to this, about this with Ramon Vargas today, and that was, we kind of agreed that was his opinion as well. But, I'm going to say, Saints win this game. I'm not going to say it's quite as low scoring as Dave, but I'm going to say 24-20 and, MVP, I'm going to go with, Travis Cadet, who makes numerous catches out of the backfield, big third down conversion plays.
I am going to say, and this is going to break a lot of hearts, Saints 27-16. I think.
Wait, they lose?
The Saints are going to win, and people hate me to pick the Saints.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Saints 27-16, and I think he heated up against Carolina, and he is about to go on a tear these next three home games. And that would be Junior Collette, a.k.a. Sackman, a.k.a. Body Bag. Hashtag. I think he's going
to – the hashtag comes before the body bag.
Yeah, I know. I'm a terrible host. I'm going to say he's going to get three sacks and force a fumble again and get really – he's going to be – well on his way to getting his 12 sacks and bumping up his contract by, I think, like $6 million. So that's my prediction.
So we're all in agreement here that the Saints win. That can't bode well.
No, that can't bode well. I also think LSU's going to win because Leonard Fournette's going to go batshit insane and give Vern Lundquist a heart attack.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick Alabama in that one. And I really want LSU to win. I hate Nick Saban. I'm a big LSU fan. But, I mean, I have a hard time seeing this LSU team winning. I hope I'm wrong.
So you can go to Saints Nation. Andrew has his grades, which are always fun and like 1,000 times better than Pro Football Focus. Like, I think they just throw shit at the wall now. I can't believe I paid for that service. I'm embarrassed.
Meacham is the best receiver on the Saints.
No.
Patrick Robinson is better than Keenan Lewis.
No, it's just it's embarrassing.
That's not true, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Pro Football Focus says that Patrick Robinson is better than Keenan Lewis.
Shitting me?
No, it's true. It's true. And it's terrible. So go there. Andrew has grades that you can trust. And Dave, Canal Street Chronicles, he's got the open thread. He's got all kinds of – they have all kinds of fun stuff there, polls and comments. I like to go when the Saints are either rolling or when they're struggling, the comments get just kind of nutso on Canal
Street Chronicle has polls.
And
Robinson is the best cornerback.
Yeah, and Kevin is on a date at a Mexican restaurant as he continues the bang anything with a pulse in St. Louis tour. So for Dave, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Remember to donate. We need your money. We need to pay the maintenance cost for 2014/2015. Donate what you can, even 25 cents. For all the guys, I'm Ralph Marlboro. Until next week, be safe.